chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass may dab in the middle of it. Grass may dab in the middle. We are grass may dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to start off this evening with Greg Reese, and he's going to do a piece on implants. You know, they've been talking about this digital currency that the Fed is floating now, and how that is going to affect us. Will we have an implant in our hand and we'll be cleared at the checkout counter or even before we go in? But here we go with Greg Reese and his thoughts.
German banking economist Richard Werner was selected as a global leader for tomorrow by the World Economic Forum in Davos in 2003. Here, he tells us an insider's view of what to soon expect, and says the only way to survive the Great Reset is for us to immediately begin setting up our own banking system.
In each domicile, they should be locally set up and authorized by the local regulators, and it's a profitable investment. Banking is profitable.
Yeah.
So the investors would get a return while the local community would get a return, and it's a way of delaying, perhaps even preventing the introduction of CBDCs. They have, you know, they have literally delayed their agenda because I think it's so important to them. They've been very careful about the timing, and they've, oh, let's wait a little longer, let's wait a little longer, let's have this crisis first, oh, let's have COVID first. You know, soften them up. But they've delayed because the technology was already ready around 2015 to roll out. Mm. And what people don't mention is, what do these CBDCs actually look like? You know, at the moment, there's a bit of talk about this being phone-based apps. And yes, that is the initial phase. But what was already ready around 2015 is the ultimate goal, what they really want. Apparently, I was told by a central banker, is, you know, CBDCs looks like a small grain of rice that they want to put under your skin, which is, in my view, a violation of human dignity. And they realize there is a hurdle. So to get people to accept this, there will be, you know, why suddenly are all the billionaires saying, let's have universal basic income? Because the story is going to be, oh, now we've created this vast unemployment and disruption and crises. Well, we need universal basic income. You will get 2,000 euros into your account every month. But, of course, to run this efficiently, we need to use the latest technology. So, you know, you need the CBDC chip implant. But how many people will say, okay, fine, £2,000, 2,000 euros, you know?
A surprising proportion, shockingly, obviously, to me or yourself, but we've seen years ago in Sweden, there has been a substantial small minority take-up of what's currently much larger. It's kind of like a little cylinder in stainless steel, I guess. Maybe it's titanium or something. And they're doing it because they just want to. They want to be early adopters of this nonsense. So if anyone's listening and that sounds fanciful or conspiracy theorish, the fact is in Sweden they are taking it up and in other places, and that's not coming out of nowhere.
The Bank for International Settlements recently published a report called Blueprint for the Future Monetary System, Improving the Old, Enabling the New. This report proposes that a central bank digital currency will serve as the new reserve currency, and calls for the digital confiscation of all physical property by assigning every real-world item its own unique digital token, which will contain rules on how each item can and cannot be used, so that each person can be controlled and conditioned directly by the central bank. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
This week we had rumors, of course. I think there was a letter sent by Jack Smith to Donald Trump about a possible, he's the target of the January 6th So it's imminent that he will be indicted next week. But here we go with some very important information about Patrick Byrne, interviewed by Alex. And Patrick Byrne was at a meeting, I believe, on December 18th in the White House, where they're going to be accused of carrying out this planning of this January 6th insurrection. But Patrick Byrne has to say quite a bit, and I'll be putting this up and embed the whole interview on the secrettruth.com site. So listen to this small clip, and then you can go in and listen to the whole thing later. But here we go with Patrick Byrne and Alex.
I can tell you, Jack Smith, what they're going to go for is to claim that the December 18th meeting was really about setting up January 6th, and that it was all some color revolution that was planned and all this kind of stuff. And it's all fantasy. It's all total fantasy. I was the guy who laid out those options. And based on the example I just gave you, Alex, wouldn't you agree that that's the most light-handed approach you could take? He said, let's just take – so he took he took of all the options that were ever given him, he always took the most light footprint possible. And and the only mention of January 6th was, I said, sir, this is going to take us 2 weeks. The paper says it'll take us 2 weeks. We really think we can get this done in a week, maybe in a few days. If we don't find what we think we're going to find, I think you need to concede as quickly as possible. He cut me off immediately to say, Patrick, you have no idea how easy that's going to be for me to do. I can, on January 20th, Marine One's going to land right over there. He was sitting at the Resolute desk looking out the window. He said, it's going to land right there, Patrick. I can walk out of here on January 20th, my head held high. I did more than anyone's accomplished. No problem. But can I really do that if I think that this election has been rigged and there's a foreign nation involved? How can I do that? So I found that to be a totally morally appropriate reason, nothing in a, and he leaned over another time. We had a moment alone as we went through a doorway, and he like emphasized to me, Pat, you have no idea how easy it's going to be for me to walk out of here. If I lost this election, that's just fine. But if I think this is, and
by the way, Roger Stone told me that too, that Trump was ready to go if they hadn't stolen it. He wanted to go play golf. He just wanted to fix the country. And we know all that. So we're going to go to break, come right back. But it's so crazy now that Jack Smith going to try to claim those meetings are a plan to then have a bunch of feds and Ray Epps attack the Capitol. I mean, are they crazy enough to indict Trump and then try to convince a jury of that? That just sounds wild.
What Jack Smith wants to say is that we went into with a plan about making an insurrection on January 6th. It's all delusional. We're finally, after all this fighting, getting to the stuff we wanted to get to in December 2020. It's taken 2.5 years of fighting, and we have enough that's going to blow their narrative out of the water. What Jack Smith is trying to do is not about getting Trump into prison. It's about blocking him, making this argument, and then the secretaries of state, the blue secretaries are going to state or say, we're leaving them off the ballot. It's our decision. We're leaving them off the ballot. So that's their strategy. It's about keeping them off the ballot. There is no way they can escalate their way out of this. They've lost the public. They've lost government employees themselves. Or frankly, 85% of government employees are on our side.
I was about to say, no, I mean, I see the numbers and I experience it. I agree. They've totally lost the public. Like, this is beyond a political realignment. This is like a super realignment. But I don't think they're going to stop. These people are crazy.
Well, they don't show any. I think that they've lost command and control. If networks under pressure break down, they break down and start making bad decisions, and they're not making good decisions. They should be stepping back and trying to find some way to get through this, because they're going to lose this one.
Why are the mega banks and others so – is it because the dollar is coming to its end, the Ponzi scheme, like we're going to have hyperinflation or we're going to have depression? I mean, is it because we're coming to the end, they just want the crisis to bring in the central bank digital currencies and the ESGs?
Well, I think it goes far, far beyond that. I think it's Cloward Pivens. They've never been down with Republican, constitutional Republican, limited government. For 250 years, Central European powers have been against it. They want to destroy us. This is Cloward Piven reaching its end. It all collapses. They emerge in charge of some goon state is how they view it. Something like the Hunger Games, you know, and it may be true that they intend to starve 80 or 90% of us out. I think that what really happens, if you read the Chinese national security literature, what the lefties here are going along with that because that's how they think it ends. What really happens is then there's a three-year period where the cartels and the UN blue helmets are given 3 years to rape, pillage, loot, and burn and destroy America. When it's nothing but a carcass, the keys get handed off to China. They colonize. It solves the food problem. That for 2,500 years, the Han have faced one, the greatest problem they face is food. They colonize and they occupy us. And if that all sounds nutty, just read their national security. Look, I'll send you a link, Alex, the secret speech of Chur Haotian, the retiring minister of defense in 2003.
No, I know. And look at how America's already been humiliated, how we've been trained to just accept all this. Patrick Byrne is with us, very prolific individual. I'm not going to read his whole bio. Former CEO of Overstock.com and a lot of other companies. He's also been involved with the FBI and major stings on criminal operations and the rest of it. And he became one of the big advisors really in the last year or so of Trump's administration, but knew him the whole time, but particularly towards the end when Trump was being abandoned on how to deal with the deep state and what was happening. And so Jack Smith, the deep state torpedo being shot at the current president, Trump, who really won the election, and who was the front runner, according to all the polls out there massively, either in the primaries or against Biden, he has already indicted Trump once on documents, which is totally fraudulent, and now is looking, Trump says, they've been told he's a target, to indict him imminently, I mean, any time, as early as next week, for insurrection on January 6th. Well, between Patrick and myself, I was on the ground at the Ellipse and help get the financing together for a peaceful Trump rally. We've done that many times because, again, the president and the executive branch doesn't pay for rallies. The campaign does. And we were having a rally on January 5th, and they said, hey, we want to move to the 6th. We want you guys to be involved. So we helped get the financing, brought in the donors. I stepped back and said, okay. And then I was told, well, about a week before, more than that, the Secret Service, you know, says that Trump wants you to lead the march that's going to be behind the Capitol, where they got the permits on record and had the stage set up. And so I thought I'd go there and Trump would be there. Trump was abandoned by the Capitol Police, by the D.C. Police, by the Secret Service, in my view. And then no one was there when we got there except Antifa and Ray Epps. And we now know D.C. Police have confirmed members of Congress breaking into the Capitol. So they set up a few thousand people out of a million that showed up once the doors were open to go in. And so I'm at the bottom of this, seeing what really happened to set up. Patrick Byrne is on the top because if you looked at those last months and those last weeks, Patrick and General Flynn and others were there almost every day trying to advise Trump. And so he's got a lot of critical intel. He was an eyewitness to these meetings about what Jack Smith is claiming was going on with insurrection. I was not talking to the president at that time, but I can tell you, he said on the Ellipse, go be peaceful. We were all there to be peaceful. We had rallies in the months before in D.C. Had been totally peaceful. Our concern was Antifa attacking us. That's what we thought might happen. We had no idea they'd provocateur and do this. So Patrick's a really smart guy, has a lot of sources, but he was there at these meetings and has a lot of breaking news that deals with this because, folks, out of the state attack in New York and out of the federal attack in Florida, in Miami, none of those are anything compared to the January 6th move. This is how they want to kick him off the ballot because under the Constitution, insurrection can do that. They've now arrested a bunch of the alternate electors in Michigan when the Democrats have their own alternate electors, and so did JFK, and so did Obama. So this is really a coup. This was not a Trump coup. This is a deep state coup because he's so popular. This is true election meddling. So I'm done talking about that. We're going to skip this network break coming up so we have more time. Patrick Byrne of DeepCapture.com and on Twitter at Patrick Byrne. Thank you so much for joining us. There's a lot to unpack here, but thank you for being here.
Alex, good to be on your show again. Thanks for having me.
So where to begin?
Well, you know, it's a good point. I hear that this fellow, Jack Smith, is moving in on the famous December 18th meeting and the January 6th events. I can answer 100% for what happened on December 18th. Happy, I take all responsibility. It's all my fault. It's all my doing. all, and how interesting it is, Alex. For 9 months, I took out advertisements around D.C. telling the J6 committee, hey, have me in. I'll come in, no subpoena, no warrant, no lawyer. I'll just come in and answer all your questions. It took 9 months of prodding them before they finally cooperated with an attorney. They would only have me in and talk to me through an attorney to have me come in. So, and that's because they know my truth offends, or actually it puts a hatchet through the narrative that they are trying to create. So I will answer for everything that happened on December 18th. They're trying to connect December 18th to January 6th. I can answer all these questions. Everything that they're taking months and months and years torching our country with, I can really answer almost all the questions. Some stuff about J6, I don't know. And I have impressions, and you have impressions. I'd love to on-air live kind of match our impressions and try to figure out what happened. But I can answer so many of the questions, and it's hilarious. They're dragging this on for months and months and years, and they're afraid to talk to me. And, you know, I'd love to talk to Jack Smith. And with all due respect, Special Counsel Smith, I'd love to – you call collect. I'll come in there, and I'll answer all your questions. Let's save the nation a lot of time and turmoil.
I hope you listen. You can go back and listen again. But one of the things that Patrick Byrne said was that they're trying to put some kind of insurrection conviction on Trump to disqualify him from the, especially from the blue states, and then the secretaries of states could disqualify him and take him off the ballot. We've got three clips coming up next. Harris Faulkner talked about the RFK interview and questioning that went on before committee in Congress, and boy, they tried to devastate him. But here we go with Harris Faulkner giving her opinion.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a day on Capitol Hill. That heated House hearing underway again on the weaponization of government and big tech censorship. President Biden's top challenger on the left, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is a key witness. And it's kind of ironic that Democrats on the committee tried to censor him today about a censorship topic. They wanted to block his testimony because of some controversial comments that were attributed to him. Watch.
Why would the Republican leadership and the committee majority give a hearing and a platform to the witnesses today, specifically to Mr. Kennedy, a man who has recently claimed that COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people, but tells the black community and myself, a mother of 5 black children, that I should really be careful and not necessarily have the same safeguards to protect my family, my children, from a virus that has killed millions of people because I'm black.
I move that we move into executive session because Mr. Kennedy has repeatedly made despicable anti-Semitic and anti-Asian comments as recently as last week.
Okay, so what that means is they wanted to take it out of the public sphere and put it in an executive meeting room where we wouldn't be able to watch what he said. Well, that didn't happen. They tabled that motion. And then R.F. Kennedy Jr. said this.
If the views that you and others have applied to me, I've attributed to me, if they were actually true, I can see why I shouldn't be able to testify here today. Those are not true. These are defamations and malignancies that are used to censor me, to prevent people from listening to the actual things that I'm saying. And I think, ranking member, that we should have a real conversation rather than an exchange of ad hominem attacks.
You know, I was thinking today, who would cheer this on? China, because that's how they roll. We're not supposed to roll like that.
Exactly. And what was so interesting to me is he talked about ad hominem attacks there. This entire hearing is Democrats trying to malign, demonize, and push RFK Jr. out of the way. But where did this all begin? Why are we even having this hearing? You go to page, I think it's 8 or 9 of the lawsuit that the judge said, Biden, no, you can't censor people. We're going to stop these meetings from happening. There was a digital director named Clark Humphrey, 3 days into Biden's administration, who sends this email to Twitter. Can we keep an eye out for tweets that fall into this genre? And he sends RFK Jr.'s tweet. Hey, folks, wanted to flag below tweet and wondering if we can get moving on the process of having it removed ASAP. So 3 days in, Biden says, get the RFK Jr. tweet off Twitter. He'd go on to be a political rival.
So, Sean, I try to give people the space and grace to maybe they didn't know that then. Do you think they knew he was coming?
Oh, of course.
You exactly. think he was going to, that they knew he was going to knock on the door to get into the White House and try and possibly run?
I think they had to. And so here's a Democrat candidate who has 20% of the Democrat primary vote. I mean, he's not a small player. He's a huge player in a race against the president of the United States, number one. But number two, it's a really good point. He's pushing back on the government using agency to have someone else censor in a censorship game that they can't play themselves. It's fascinating. So I love that the Republicans have given him the platform. And by the way, just a reminder, this is what Democrats used to stand for. This is like an old Bill Clinton-esque policies that RFK is talking about. Not this new left-wing leftism, Marxism that's come from the Democrats.
Actually, I think Democrats are very nervous about RFK Jr. And I was looking at a Quinnipiac poll this morning. He's got 14% against an incumbent in the White House, the Democratic Party. That is a big number. That's double digits. But, you know, Hakeem Jeffries, about an hour ago, made these comments that where I think this is where you see how worried they are. Yep. This is Hakeem Jeffries. Robert F. Kennedy is a living, breathing false flag operation. His campaign is being run by right-wing political operatives who have one objective, take down President Joe Biden. You're nervous.
Who's the right-wing operative running his campaign? I'd love to know.
Me too.
So, but that's also something similar to what the left is saying about no labels, the third party. Yeah. They don't want any competition whatsoever, no matter where it's coming from Joe Biden. But the one that really hit me today was when they were trying to tear him apart, some of the congressmen and women who were, you know, had their 5 minutes on the clock. And it was brought up that he was racist and that, you know, the Tuskegee project, that his comments about vaccines would then keep blacks from getting a vaccine. And it was an emotional moment when he said, you know, my family members, remember who his uncle was, JFK, signed the end of the Tuskegee experiments. He goes, I was already born then. I mean, the legacy of the bipartisan victories in this country he's bringing up. He's talking about a time when they all used to get along, and he's talking about his family's sort of place in history. Mm-hmm. And it pretty much shut the conversation.
Yeah, and it's telling that Democrats would rather attack him personally than actually deal with the substance of the hearing, which was the weaponization of the government against free speech. And it used to be, we don't have to agree with everything that RFK says. We don't have to think that all of his ideas are good. But it used to be that the way that you flesh out the bad ideas is by publicly debunking and debating them. Now, all the Democrats want to do is shut down speech entirely. They don't want to give him a platform. And perhaps it is because they're worried that he poses a significant threat to President Joe Biden.
The collusion is already in the courts, and the Biden administration is already losing in the courts over their attempting to censor social media. So let's talk about facts here versus theatrics.
Yeah. So maybe his rise now in the polls looks like that Jason Aldean song, looks like the Barbie movie. The more you talk about it and put it out there, you're helping him out. Maybe they're nervous about that on the left, too.
We'll be playing two more clips about the RFK Jr. Testimony before Congress. And this next one, okay, was Hannity and Jim Jordan. And they not only covered the RFK Jr. debacle, Jr., or even his testimony. He did good, tried to testify. They tried to just dislodge him and defame him and everything else. But anyway, the first clip will be Hannity and Jim Jordan. So here we go with them.
All right, and a very explosive hearing on Capitol Hill today. Democratic presidential candidate RFK Jr. testified about government censorship, and surprise, surprise, the Democrats on the committee tried to censor him. Can't make it up. Take a look how things went down.
I was the first person censored by as the chairman pointed out, by the Biden administration 2 days after it came into office. This is a letter that many of you signed, many of my fellow Democrats. I've spent my life in this party. I've devoted my life to the values of this party. This 102 people signed this. This itself is evidence of the problem that this hearing was convened to address. This is an attempt to censor a censorship hearing.
I move that we move into executive session because Mr. Kennedy has repeatedly made despicable anti-Semitic and anti-Asian comments as recently as last week.
To say that I created a film that encourages blacks not to get adequate medical care is just completely abhorrent. If the,
don't
if
misuse
the,
my words.
It's the witness's time. Do not censor the witness.
I'm not censoring the witness. I'm not censoring the witness. He's still talking.
It is the, it's my time, and I've given it to the witness. Do not censor him.
I'm not censoring him.
If the views that you and others have applied to me, I've attributed to me, if they were actually true, I can see why I shouldn't be able to testify here today. Those are not true. These are defamations and malignancies that are used to censor me, to prevent people from listening to the actual things that I'm saying.
Wow. As a reminder, we have an exclusive town hall with RFK Jr. next Tuesday night right here in New York City. Tickets are free. Just go to Hannity.com. Here with reaction, he is the chairman of the very important House Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Government and the House Judiciary Committee. Jim Jordan is with us. Congressman, great to have you. All right. It's a hearing on censorship, and Democrats tried to censor their fellow Democrat. Can you explain that, Congressman?
Right.
Can't make that
well,
up.
Well, nothing's new, Sean. They've been at... Yeah, they've been after this guy since, as he said, and I said in my opening statement, since the second day of the Biden administration. There's a tweet, or excuse me, an email that goes to Twitter from the White House that says, take down this tweet ASAP. And the tweet is from Robert F. Kennedy. And there is nothing in that tweet that is wrong. Everything is factually accurate. And yet they're trying, in fact, the subject line of the email says, RFK misinformation, but it wasn't misinformation. It was accurate. And frankly, even if it was, the First Amendment protects that as well. So the Democrat Party has now become the party of censorship, the party that doesn't embrace the most important liberty we have, our right to talk, our right to speak, and to speak in a political fashion and not be harassed and targeted for doing so. But they did it to, of all people, the most famous name in Democrat politics for the last three-quarters of a century is the Kennedy name, and they're so committed to the censorship, they're even going after him.
Okay, now, one of the worst examples of real censorship, the FBI, and this goes to the heart of the Judiciary Committee investigation that you are a part of. The FBI has Hunter Biden's very real laptop, and they have it in December 2019, and they authenticated that it was his in March of 2020. And then in the months leading up to the election in 2020, the presidential election, the FBI was meeting weekly with big tech companies. We learned from the July 4th ruling in that case in Missouri, Eric Schmidt was the AG, he's now a senator from Missouri. We learned that the integrity site head at Twitter, guy by the name of Yoel Roth, that he was being told by FBI officials that had the laptop, that verified the authenticity of the laptop, that in fact, their company and every other big tech company was being told that they may be victims of misinformation that may be about Joe and Hunter Biden. The FBI also knew that the president's attorney, President Trump's attorney, had a copy of Hunter's laptop and that would likely be leaked. Lo and behold, the laptop story comes out in the New York Post and they all censored it. And the American people didn't get to see it, and a lot of polls show it would have had a dramatic, drastic impact on that election.
Yeah, and Sean, what we learned this week is that day that that story comes out, Emma Jo Morris, who testified today, was the author of that story in the New York Post. The day that story comes out, the FBI just happens to be meeting with Twitter that same day. And in that meeting, someone from Twitter, we got this from Laura Dimlow, head of the Foreign Influence Task Force at the FBI when we deposed her 3 days ago. That same day, Twitter's meeting with the FBI, someone from Twitter asked the FBI, is the laptop real? The FBI, some agent answers, yes, it is. And then quickly, an FBI lawyer jumps in the conversation and says, no further comment. So they confirmed it, and then they went to no comment. Later that same day, the FBI is also meeting with Facebook. Facebook asked the same question, because that day, that was the biggest story. And people were wondering, and these companies were wondering, because as you pointed out, Sean, they'd been prepped to understand the hack and leak operation was coming. It was going to involve Hunter Biden. Here it comes. And they want to know if it's real. The FBI in the meeting with Facebook, Facebook says no comment. So they will not confirm what they know to be true. In fact, what one agent kind of slipped up, it looks like, and confirmed to Twitter earlier that same day. Important information. Now we know that they knew, the same people who were briefing about this hack and leak thing coming, they knew ahead of time and wouldn't confirm it and allowed the country in just days before the most important election we have, allowed the country to have that story censored, which is exactly what happened.
Let me go to this other issue and what we now know as it relates to Joe Biden, the president, and that is this FBI informant. Now we know why the DOJ and the FBI didn't want to hand over that 1023 form. Now we know what's in that 1023. Credible source, human source, telling the FBI that, in fact, that in the case of Biden and Burisma, that Hunter Biden, who they thought was dumb, was being paid money because Joe Biden was going to help protect them. Joe Biden brags about protecting Burisma by demanding the investigator, the prosecutor, get fired. He gets fired. Hunter continues to get paid. And the Biden family makes a fortune in the process. What do you call that in Ohio, Congressman? Because I have a word for it here in New York.
Yeah, we call it wrong, and we certainly call it suspicious. And I thought what John Solomon said
right
in the first
word.
Segment, Sean. Yeah. Well, I'll say it in a nice way. Sean,
that's called a shakedown. That is called influence peddling.
Yeah, but I do think what John Solomon said earlier, Sean, where remember in 2019, this is what they went after President Trump on. It was all about Burisma and the phone call in Ukraine. So when John Solomon said, we got to go back, I lived that. I was in the bunker in the basement with Adam Schiff doing these depositions defending President Trump because it was so ridiculous. But they attacked President Trump on the very thing they were involved in. So typical of the Democrats, it seems to me. So John Solomon is right. Let's go back and dig into those facts. I think that will be interesting, something I'm going to be doing over the next few weeks.
All right, Jim Jordan, keep up the great work. Important stuff that you guys are doing.
We have one final clip about the RFK issue there, and it's by Newsmax, and this gives us a little bit of, we had Harry Faulkner and Hannity and Jim Jordan. Now we've got Newsmax reporting in on their angle, and they have another committee that might take up another investigation. So listen to this carefully. Here we go with Newsmax and their view.
The U.S. attorney in Delaware in our investigation was constantly hamstrung, limited, and marginalized by DOJ officials as well as other U.S. attorneys.
Assistant United States Attorney Leslie Wolf cited the optics of executing a search warrant at President Biden's residence as a deciding factor for not allowing it. Prosecutors instructed investigators not to ask about the big guy or dad when conducting interviews.
That's right. The big guy was off limits. That was the takeaway from IRS whistleblowers Gary Shapley and Joseph Ziegler during their bombshell testimony before the House Oversight Committee on Wednesday. Their testimony unfolding as evidence of a multi-million-dollar bribery scheme involving the president in the form of the FBI's 1023 form were made public this week. To bring us up to date on the Biden corruption investigations, we are joined now by Republican congressman from the state of Wisconsin and member of the House Oversight Committee, Glenn Grothman. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us. During more than 4 hours of testimony, the two whistleblowers painted a pretty clear picture of obstruction and interference into the Hunter Biden probe by the Biden Department of Justice. Now, for the public, what do you think was the most important aspect of the information that they provided? What did you learn, and what did the public learn this week that perhaps they hadn't heard before, they didn't know before?
Well, I think the degree to which the Department of Justice, which should be searching out wrongdoing, instead weighed in to prevent finding out about wrongdoing. You know, during the 2.5 months between when Joe Biden was elected and he took office, President Trump was still the president. There was supposed to be a day of action in which they were supposed to interview 12 people. They only wanted interviewing one person. Repeatedly over the 4 years before that, the IRS was stymied in its ability to gather more information, and eventually the charges that Hunter Biden had to stand for there were nowhere near what they should have. So in so many ways, we've got a problem in the Department of Justice, which we've seen before. The Department of Justice has become politicized, and it seems like their major goal throughout this thing was to protect Hunter Biden and even more protect Joe Biden.
Yeah, one of the things that stood out to me, Congressman, in particular, was this line of questioning from Congressman Jason Smith over the exclusion of the Biden grandchildren from the investigation by the Department of Justice. Watch this.
You also testified that Assistant United States Attorney Leslie Wolf told you that you would get into hot water if interviewed the president's grandchildren.
In this case, we needed to talk to witnesses related to things that were deducted on the tax return. And in this case, it was the adult children that we needed to talk to.
Congressman, talk to us about why the grandchildren are relevant here.
Well, of course, you have nine different Biden family members who were getting money during this time period. It's important to find out what they were getting as far as tracking down who should report the income and, you know, who was wind up getting a deduction for having this money flow to the grandchildren. I think the reason the IRS was they try to stamp down on from having this coming out is obviously the more information like this that comes out, the more it's apparent that the whole Biden family is a little bit corrupt here or making money off of Joe's position.
Yeah, and if you used, if you tried to deduct the costs for hookers and whatnot from your tax return, you'd probably be going to jail if you were a normal person, but apparently that doesn't happen to the Biden family. As I mentioned, the full FBI 1023 informant document was released this week by Senator Chuck Grassley against the wishes of the FBI. In it, a Burisma business executive claimed that his dog was smarter than Hunter Biden and that Hunter was only hired to protect them through his father. The informant's report also claimed the executive was coerced to pay the Bidens for their services. This, of course, directly contradicts the president's claim he never spoke to his son or had anything to do with his overseas business dealings. So we're now seeing direct evidence of bribery. What's the next step here, Congressman?
Well, we have a new tranche of bank records that we're going to have to go through, see if there can be more interviews with people other than just this confidential witness. You're right. It was absolutely devastating testimony. And if true, allegations that it cost $5 million to buy Hunter, $5 million to buy Joe is, you know, that would be just as devastating as can be with regard to Joe Biden. But we'd like to get more information. And like I said, we'd like to see where the money is being transferred from. These people have bragged that there's so many different places to put the money. We aren't going to catch him, but we'll find out about that.
Congressman, real quick, are we going to see a list of acceptable prosecutors from Republicans in Congress to the Department of Justice and a formal demand that a separate independent investigation into this be contemplated?
We'll certainly demand a separate investigation. As you can see right now, you just cannot trust the Department of Justice. And I want to say, by the way, that the staff in both the Senate and the House has done a tremendous job. I mean, talk about being outgunned.
Yeah.
If the Department of Justice were on the ball, they would have perhaps hundreds of people investigating this. So we have a handful of staffers in the House.
Well, they certainly did that for former President Trump. Congressman Glenn Grothman, thank you very much for bringing us up to speed. We appreciate that.
Now we have a bombastic declaration by Alex that there is no climate emergency, and he backs it up. There are Nobel laureates and others that have signed on a declaration, and they were meeting in South Korea recently, and this is devastating to the New World Order that's been indoctrinating our children into climate change and environmental issues, and that's the way that they've been politically dominating them. But here we go with Alex declaring this in a very bombastic, and only he can do it his way.
World Climate Declaration. There is no climate emergency. Global Climate Intelligence Group. And they just spoke at the most prestigious scientific yearly forum in South Korea. There is no climate emergency. And then they go through the plan that it's a giant scam to cut off resources and consolidate them and cause mass depopulation. And he's got all these experts and other Nobel laureates. Oh, I forgot. He's got a whole bunch of other Nobel Prize winners. I forgot that part of it. It just gets, a whole bunch of Nobel Prize winners. All these top scientists. Boy, they've got a problem. They got a big, look at all these other scientists that signed on. And then all the papers they filed. This report is just the synopsis. So I guess I guess it's, what is it, thousands of pages long? Well, we'll try to print it all. I'm going to try to read it all. I've only scanned over some of the news articles that have excerpts in it. And that's just the total plan to destroy and kill everybody with a whole bunch of Nobel Prize winners telling you. Oh, see, hey, ADL, hey, Southern Poverty Law Center. I know you think you're going to stop your Nazi takeover by calling people to try to stop Nazis, Nazis, but this is the closest thing to Hitler. In fact, Hitler would blush at this. So let me tell the left and the CIA and all of you something. You're not getting away with your plan. Go ahead and release your next bioweapon. I know it's far worse. No matter how many of us you kill, you're going to get punished for what you've done in the end. You know what? I'm going to come in Saturday and do a four-hour show, like I did a two-hour this last Saturday, commercial-free, with Dr. Rima Lebo, whose husband was the head of the National Security Agency, amongst other things, telling you about the plan to forcibly depopulate you and your family by first cutting off the energy and then the fertilizer and then forcibly injecting you with deadly poison. And she has been a psychiatrist to heads of state, including royalty, the big royalty. But look at this right here. The Nobel Prize in Physics. Oh, it's another top scientist. He won in 2022, last year, for basically proving that there's other dimensions and wavelengths coming through that bend time and space and proving what Einstein said was true. Prize motivation for experiments with entangled photons establishing the violation of Bell inequities and pioneering quantum information science. Probably kind of smart. And he got a bunch of other scientists with him, and they put together this big report. John F. Clauser. So there you go. Now, let's look at his report here. Boy, we're going to spend an hour on this Saturday. Oh, this is pretty darn important. World Climate Declaration. There is no climate emergency. Global Climate Intelligence Group. And they just spoke at the most prestigious scientific yearly forum in South Korea. We actually have a clip of him talking about all this that I'm going to get to with Mickey Willis coming up. There is no climate emergency. And then they go through the plan that it's a giant scam to cut off resources and consolidate them and cause mass depopulation. And he's got all these experts and other Nobel laureates. Oh, I forgot. He's got a whole bunch of other Nobel Prize winners. I forgot that part of it. It just gets, oh yeah, a whole bunch of Nobel Prize winners. All these top scientists. Boy, they've got a problem. They got a big, look at all these other scientists that signed on. And then all the papers they filed. This is just, this report is just the synopsis. So I guess it's, what is it, thousands of pages long? Well, we'll try to print it all. I'm going to try to read it all. I've only scanned over some of the news articles that have excerpts in it. And that's just the total plan to destroy and kill everybody with a whole bunch of Nobel Prize winners telling you. Oh, see, hey, ADL, hey, Southern Poverty Law Center. I know you think you're going to stop your Nazi takeover by calling people to try to stop Nazis, Nazis, but this is the closest thing to Hitler. In fact, Hitler would blush at this. So let me tell the left and the CIA and all of you something. You're not getting away with your plan. Go ahead and release your next bioweapon. I know it's far worse. No matter how many of us you kill, you're going to get punished for what you've done in the end.
We've got coming up another great Reese pronouncement about the government and our children. This is really very scary. Here we go with Greg Reese.
In 1987, Tallahassee, Florida police responded to an anonymous phone tip about six malnourished children covered in bug bites and scratches being accompanied by two well-dressed men in a public park. The two men were arrested for child abuse and suspicion of trafficking children across state lines. And so the U.S. Customs Service, the Washington Metropolitan Police Department, and the FBI all got involved. The two men arrested had multiple fake IDs and were found to be members of a group known as the Finders. The Finders owned multiple properties in the D.C. area. The investigation of these properties reportedly found evidence of child pornography and photographs of three children and three white-robed men dismembering two goats. The children described a harsh learning environment where a man known as the game caller was in charge of everyone and could talk to the adults with a computer in the van. One of the games they played was responding to local newspaper advertisements for babysitters, tutors, and anything else that could get them into a family's home, where they would then gather as much information as possible about the family's habits, identity, and occupation. The Finders were labeled a satanic cult, and the media sensationalized it for a full week until the investigation was called off. It was reported that the mothers of the children were members of the Finders, and that the two men had the full consent of the parents to be transporting them. The media narrative then blamed their own sensationalism, claiming that the whole thing was blown out of proportion, and that the Finders were just a harmless 1960s-style hippie community. Years later, the reports of U.S. Customs Special Agent Ramon J. Martinez began bringing attention back to the matter. Martinez claimed that evidence included the intent to traffic children, the ordering of children from Hong Kong through the Chinese embassy, the instructions on the impregnation of female members of the Finders, and a library of books on the subjects of mind control and terrorist warfare strategy. Martinez claimed that every attempt to review evidence was blocked, and was finally told by a member of the Metropolitan Police Department that the Finders had come under the protection of the CIA, who claimed jurisdiction by deeming it an internal matter, and had the entire case labeled secret. The leader of the Finders, Marion Petty, bragged about infiltrating the CIA. His wife, Isabel, worked for the CIA, and their son worked for the CIA-run Air America. Finder members' passports revealed travel visas to places such as North Korea, North Vietnam, and Russia, all approved by the U.S. State Department. This resurfaced evidence inspired outrage, and an investigation was launched. The Department of Justice began investigating allegations that the CIA had used a front company run by a commune to train agency employees. Their investigation resulted in a verdict of no evidence of CIA interference and no evidence of criminal activity with the Finders. During this same time period was the McMartin preschool scandal, wherein hundreds of parents reported that their children had suffered satanic sexual abuse at a preschool in Manhattan Beach, California. And for some reason, evidence seized from the Finders included a map of this same preschool. It seems to be the norm. KinderCare, the biggest preschool chain in America, was owned by Henry Kravis, who was a close associate of former CIA director George Bush. KinderCare has been accused by several parents for child abuse and satanic ritual abuse. Former Clinton Foundation official Joel Goetz operated a huge chain of kindergartens in China, where several parents complained that their children were molested. Just as the CIA and their partner groups manage the media, Hollywood, and the worldwide drug trade, they also manage the human slave trade. And as bad as the symptoms are, we need to be focused on the disease if we ever want to end this. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
We'll be finishing up this evening with Jay Dyer's report about the future. The future is planned. And then now you'll hear the music and we'll exit. But we'll put up his whole interview, Jay Dyer also. We'll embed that on our site. So come into thesecrettruth.com. Thank you and God bless each and every one of you.
It's time to get serious. I'm going to talk about proving to you that the future is planned. Now, I don't want you to get blackpilled and think that the future is always planned as if you can't make a difference, but we still got a large chunk of the population that doesn't understand that the future is planned. Sixteen years ago at The Guardian, the quote liberal website, which is a completely establishment website, 16 years ago, 20 years ago, they did do some decent reporting. There's an article there called Revolution, Flash Mobs, and Brain Chips, Grim Vision of the Future. This is an article that The Guardian wrote based on the British Ministry of Defense's white paper called Development Concepts and Doctrinal Center, drawing the report on the future projections of flash mobs, electromagnetic pulse weapons, ELF, VLF, the rise of a new type of Marxism, socialism, proletariat revolution, so-called, and collapse. The new weapons of the future would be ELF, VLF, would be things that would be psychotronic. I just watched a movie last night that I just thought it was a normal John Cusack film with Christina Ricci, and it's called Distortion. And the whole movie is about an MK Ultra project, basically using a smart city, smart tech building to mind control and program people and set them off to use various signals, transmissions, subliminals, and so forth to basically cause revolutions, to cause chaos. This document is talking about this in a mainstream way 16 years ago. Now, there's older discussions of implantable chips. We just saw, for example, the WEF, the former WEF guy in the Greg Reese video, say that back in 2003, he and Klaus were talking about these kinds of things. Implantable chips going under the skin. Now, that's the old technology. Now it could be something more nanotech, I'm sure. So it's not microchips per se. But they still might use some kind of implantable chip. In fact, now in a lot of groceries, a lot of Whole Foods, you can just pay and scan with your biometric code. So we're already at the dystopian future. But the document said from the white paper from the Ministry of Defense, the British Ministry of Defense, that by 2035, an implantable microchip would be wired directly to the brain. That's what's coming. That's what they want to do with the CBDC. That's what they want to do with the wallet that everybody has. You get this universal basic income. You get on this system that is predicated on austerity. Now, where does the austerity limitation model come from? You might think, oh, well, it comes only from Marxism, socialism. That's part of where it comes from. Because Marxism, socialism is predicated on the notion that there is a control that is unfair by the nature of capitalism itself. And so the answer is enforced fairness, enforced universal basic income. The document notes that the middle class could be engineered into becoming a new proletariat, a new Marxist revolutionary force. And so I think that's what they want to do, is they want to take the middle class, they want to take middle America, they want to take the average conservative, radicalize that, or at least give the impression that they're radicalized, which is exactly what the entire Biden administration has been about. The MAGA, Trump, all these people, all the middle America is part of this revolutionary force that's going to destroy and take down things. And they're going to have another OKC, right? Another kind of Tim McVeigh, who was a sheep dip black ops patsy person. He was used in that operation, which was done as a deep state operation, in my view. They're going to need something like that. And so you have to be aware of that. Anything that happens like that, most likely 100%, 99.9% will be some mentally unstable weirdo person that was provocateured and led into this kind of a thing. If you remember, the New York Times many, many years ago had articles talking about how a lot of these so-called terror events were actually honeypots, honey traps run by the FBI. Admitted, front page of the New York Times many, many years ago. You can look it up. So here you have all of these mainstream admissions. These admissions have been there for years in the white papers. And when you talk about this, as we and everybody at InfoWars has been doing for many, many years, Alex, 30 years, me, 20 years, I can recount countless incidents of, you're crazy, this doesn't exist, you're insane, it will never happen. This is a tenfold crackpot theory. It's absurd, ludicrous. And now that it's rolling out, oh, you're a bigot. How dare you oppose this? This is such a good thing. Nobody ever said it was bad. We always, it's a great thing, right? That's the gaslighting they always do. It's gaslighting. It's a trick. It's a psychological operation trick. So now that it's all rolling out, can we not admit and realize that this is going on? Go look at this paper from 16, almost 20 years ago. Revolution, flash mobs, and brain chips, a grim vision of the future. I know nobody reads anymore, right? We all just watch videos of insane 19-year-old girl Twitch streamers going, gang, 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 gang. Ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. Bill Gates, Bill Gates, get the numbers down, get the numbers down, get the numbers down. Ice cream. Well, what even is this? I don't know. What the hell even is that? Right? What is this? I don't know. But maybe you want to go look at Revolution Flash Mobs and Brain Chips and not insane elf girls doing Tourette's syndrome. I don't know what it is. It's like we're all – everybody watches girls doing Tourette's syndrome now. I don't know. You can go to my Twitter. I did a whole spoof of this nonsense, which getting a lot of views. Follow me on Twitter, by the way. I'm getting a lot of traction on Twitter. It's doing well. Doing well. I get hundreds of followers a day on Twitter now. I get 30 followers a day on YouTube. So I don't know what's going on with Twitter and Elon Musk, but I like that I'm getting normal growth and that I'm not throttled and shut down like I am everywhere else, which is really annoying because I put a lot of work into what I do. Now, this document went on to talk about other factors that would occur. There would be a rise in fights over resources. There would be a rise in demographic warfare. Now, wait a minute. I thought that doesn't exist. You're not supposed to talk about that, even though there's entire books about it, like Kelly Greenhill's book, Weapons of Mass Migration. Oh, it doesn't exist, you see. And when it does exist, it's a good thing. It doesn't exist. And here's why it's a good thing that it does exist, right? All of the liberal article titles, right? When you see an article title like that, you know you're in for trouble. The document talks about the rise in Islamic groups again. In my opinion, I agree with what Alex said about the Tate situation, which is that it was a mistake to go down the route of Islam. Islam is a tool, in my view, in the global power structure to use against the West. And if you go back to that book I've been lecturing through for the last several months, because it's really, really good, The Milner-Fabian Conspiracy, the last 200 pages of this book, which is pretty spicy, gets into how Islam is a tool, a geopolitical tool that the British Empire used to use. Think of the Muslim Brotherhood, basically started and run by British intelligence. The same model of the imperial strategy of using radical Islam. What do you know? By the 1970s, Brzezinski borrowing the British model and strategy for the American Imperium. Utilizing radical Islam. Can we not figure this out? Now, I'm not pro-Islam, but I don't think that Islam was ultimately behind the Big Nine event. I think that was used. That doesn't make me pro-Islam. So I think in the case of Tate, it was a mistake to go down the route of Islam because now Islam is heavily being pushed, not just in Europe, but they're going to try to push it social media as well. And that's part of the problem. And it's not based. It's not trad and based. Maybe on a couple areas it is. But you'll notice after a generation or two, just like any other group that gets exposed to CIA-created toxic counterculture, within a generation or two, they lose that heritage tradition, that religion that they're raised with. So it doesn't take but one or two generations of smartphones, abortion, Coke, Pepsi, foundations, feminism, all that in your country, and then all that stuff goes away. So it's being used as a tool, and then it will be turned into the next phase of the liberal global world order. That's what they do. And all this stuff is actuaried out and game planned. If you don't believe that there are actuaries, game plans, strategies, white papers, go read the freaking article. One article. Now, guess what? There's 1,000 more articles and white papers and documents that prove this point. Boomers, wake up. Send this to your family and friends. And tell them to go read the frickin' article and stop being naive and dumb and stop watching insane retarded girls on Twitch going, ice cream, Bill Gates. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you this evening for listening to our production. And we hope and pray for a better world. And we hope to save this country before it's destroyed by our enemies.